Today is a great day because we're beginning a new series today. Yes, on Labor Day weekend, we're beginning a new series, or that was the plan. We were going to begin a new series, and then that was the plan. And last night, I really said, man, I'm going to punt this because I got to preach on anger again after watching the UT game. And so, but, you know, I repented, and I'm here. And so we're calling this stuck. And I thought, well, that really fits because you can't spell stuck without a U and a T, right? And so I'm here all day. I'm a little bitter this morning. The fall, you know, it's just crazy if you're a football fan, especially if you're a Tennessee fan, because, man, it just doesn't bode well for us, right? And so, but today we're going to begin a new series called Stuck, How God Can Break You Free from Whatever's Got You Stuck. You know, some of you feel stuck, right? I hate to be stuck. If you know me at all, then you know I am a horrible claustrophobic. Now, claustrophobia is not afraid of Santa Claus. It's being afraid of tight spaces, and I have this irrational fear of tight spaces. I hate it. Man, I go crazy. I respond horribly. Rodney Wilson, you know, I introduced Rodney last week. He's our counselor. He and I were in Brussels, and I hate European elevators. I hate elevators, specifically European elevators. I mean, man, they make me tighter than a Baptist preacher's belt and an all-you-can-eat pancake breakfast. I mean, they are horrible. I hate them. And so Roddy and I was in Brussels. We get in an elevator, and I mean, man, we're belly bumping. I mean, we're chest to chest. Our luggage is here. I mean, man, this bacteria, this elevator is so small, bacteria laughed at it. I mean, it's just crazy small. And if those are watching from Brussels, you know what I'm talking about. I hate them. We got on, and I'm thinking, oh, I just can close my eyes and pray. The elevator door closed. We started up. My worst nightmare, man, the thing stopped, and we were stuck. And, man, immediately I just felt myself get hot. I jerked off my coat. I'm screaming. I'm yelling. I'm beating on the doors. I happened to look over Rodney. His eyes are this big. By the time we got off, the counselor needed counseling. I promise you. And, I hate being stuck. And I respond irrationally when I get stuck. Well, you know what? We all get stuck in life, don't we? I mean, that's just part of the cycle of life. Sometimes you're stuck in your job. You feel like, man, I'm just not going anywhere. I'm spinning my wheels. I'm pushing the gas. Sometimes you feel like you're stuck spiritually. You feel like, man, God's not using me like he's using everyone else. I feel like I'm doing everything, but I don't feel like I'm going anywhere spiritually. You're stuck. Sometimes you feel like you're stuck in a relationship, right? Sometimes you just feel stuck and you don't know why. And here's what happens typically. You know, we all get stuck. It's just part of the cycle of life. Every day can't be awesome. Sometimes we're stuck, and it's part of the cycle of life. And if we don't understand it and know what to do, sometimes we respond like I respond when I'm stuck in an elevator, irrationally. And so over the next 5 weeks, what we want you to do is we want to help you know how God can set you free from whatever's got you stuck. Maybe you're stuck in guilt and shame. We're going to talk about that next week. Maybe you're stuck with wandering and purpose and what's this life about. We're going to talk about that. Maybe you're stuck with a fear. We're going to look at fear of death, fear of all those things. We're going to look at stuff that's got people stuck and how God can break you free from that over the next 5 weeks, all right? And so we're going to begin, and our passage for today is John chapter 8, and it's verse 31 through 36, and this is what Jesus says. It's a very, I think, absolute crucial verse. It's an incredible verse. It's really a well-known verse by people inside and outside the church and people who are believers, not believers. It's a well-known verse. A well-known verse is contained within this passage. Let's look at it. It says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciple. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Boy, everybody knows that verse. I'll explain that in just a moment. They answered him, we are offsprings of Abraham. We've never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever, but the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Now, as we look at this passage, man, I say that it's a very well-known passage. And I went to East Tennessee State University, right up in East Tennessee in Johnson City. That's where I got my undergrad degree. And I remember it's a state school. You know, it's like Middle Tennessee State. It's a state school. It's a liberal state school. But on the library, outside of the library, if you look at the top of the library, it has on the top of the library, it's engraved, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. It's John 8:32. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, you're thinking, a liberal state college quoting scripture, that's pretty crazy. But really, they quote it because they don't have a clue what it means. You see, they quote it because they think, okay, you'll know the truth will set you free. So the way of freedom is understanding. They think general education, right? General knowledge from an enlightened education will give you knowledge, and knowledge is power, and knowledge will set you free. And that's not at all what it means, you see? I mean, they wouldn't put it on the building if they knew what it means, because what it means is you're not going to know general knowledge. You're going to know revealed knowledge, right? Special revelation from God, who God is. You see, the verse is talking about Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so here, what he's saying is, you're going to know Jesus, and Jesus is going to set you free. The way of freedom is Jesus, okay? The way of freedom is Jesus. They would never put that on there if they knew what it meant, right? And you see, our view, and I talked about that because I want you to understand, we're going to be talking about for 5 weeks being set free from what's got you stuck, right? So we need to know what it means to be set free. We need to understand what that means. And you know, our cultural view of freedom is way different, because here's what happens. We all have this worldview. We all look at the world through a lens. And there's a lot of things that shape that lens, you know, our bringing, our upbringing, you know, how maybe the kind of home you were raised in, the place you were raised, it shapes how you see the world. Your culture shapes how you see the world. And here we live in America, right? I mean, man, freedom is our war cry. Give me liberty or give me death, right, is our war cry. I mean, it's land of the free and home of the brave, right? We eat freedom fries, for goodness sake, right? I mean, our country was founded on the ideal of freedom. The problem is our ideal of freedom is a little warped because of our worldview. Here's what, when we think of freedom in our world, here's what we typically think. I bet if I said, okay, what does freedom mean? The world will go to, especially here in America, the world will go to, man, freedom means that I have no restraints and I have no authority. I'm free from restraint and I'm free from authority. That's the cultural view of freedom. The cultural view of freedom is diametrically opposite of biblical or spiritual freedom. You see, cultural freedom says, man, I'm free when I'm free of restraint and I'm free of authority. I have no restraints, no authority. Biblical spiritual freedom says, I'm free only under the authority of God. You see, that's what, but the cultural freedom says, I'm free when I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, and have no regrets. That's the cultural view of freedom. The biblical view of freedom says, I'm free when I do what God wants. I live how God created me to live, and I have no eternal regrets. They're fundamentally opposite, right? They're fundamentally opposite. So Jesus, he's speaking to the Jews, and he says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, they were taken aback a little bit. You could tell in the response. They thought, we're Jews. We're Abraham's offspring, which means we're Jews. We've never been enslaved to anyone. What do you mean we're going to be free? And Jesus said, listen, Jesus said that you think you're free because you are not enslaved to a country. You're not under the oppression of a government. But the bottom line, Jesus said, is you're enslaved to something much more powerful. You're enslaved to sin. Okay? Now, here's what we need to understand today as we begin this series of how to get unstuck, right, from what's got you stuck, how God can set you free from what's got you stuck. You need to understand that you are a slave to something. Okay? There's no one in here that is free from any restraint or authority. We're all slaves to something. There's something that drives your life. There's something that you have gotta have. If you would close your eyes and say, I wanna imagine my life, take a snapshot of your life 10 years from now. If you looked at that snapshot, what would have to be there for your life to be, I mean, hitting it in the sweet spot, right? What is that thing that you gotta have? That's what drives you. That's probably what has you enslaved. For some, it's their career. Some of you are enslaved by your career. It is your master. It's the one thing that's driving your life, right? I'm going to make sure that my daddy knows I am somebody and that I can make it. I'm going to make sure I get the, I want the respect, I want the position, I want the title, I want the money. Man, you get depressed if you don't get a promotion or a raise, and you get jealous of those who do. Your career is driving your life. You are enslaved to your career. It's what your life is about. It's the number one thing that's driving your life, right? That would be what you're enslaved to. For some, it's money. Some people's, man, I got to have more money. I'm not secure without money, and I got to get more money. If I got money, I would keep what I've got. I got to hang on to what I got. I got to get more. My life is spent and it's driven on getting more money, keeping what I have, trying to get, you're enslaved to money, right? For some people, you know what enslaves some people is other people's opinions. It's my status and what other people think about me. It drives where you spend your money, what you wear, how you dress. You get up and you're thinking about, man, I'm looking, okay, what's people going to think about this? Listen, it's always easy on social media. Social media has just really changed our world, right? And some good ways and some not so good ways, because everybody wants to compare themselves to everybody's highlight reel, right? And when you look on somebody's Instagram, what you forget is that's their highlight reel. Okay? And it's a false highlight reel, right? I'm looking at my, bad plays, and I'm comparing to everybody's highlight reel, and here's what happens. You can always tell when people are begging for instant affirmation of other people's opinions, because you can tell when someone has taken that picture like 42 times, right? I mean, they take that picture 42 times, they got to get the angle right, they got to get, you know, to make sure everything looks good and understand right, and then they post it, and then you can tell they're checking that thing about every 30 seconds to see who's liked it. Who's liked it? And if they don't like it, man, I'm mad at somebody that doesn't like it. Why didn't they like my photo? I'm not liking their photo, right? You're a slave to other people's opinion, right? It can be status. It can be money. It can be a relationship. Man, it can be so many things, but here's the thing. We're all controlled and driven by something. The question is not, am I a slave? You are. The question is, who is your master? Who or what is your master? You know, and looking through this, the great theologian, there's a great theologian out there, his name's Bob Dylan. Some of you have read Bob Dylan's theology for years, right? Others of you are going like, who's Bob Dylan? That's the young pups, all right? Here's what Bob Dylan says. Some of you are going to sing this in your head as I read the lyrics. Listen to what Bob Dylan, and you know what's funny is, Bob Dylan, these lyrics are really good theology. He's not a theologian, okay? But this is really good theology. Listen to what he says. You might be a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. You might have drugs at your command and women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. You may call your doctor, they may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. If it might be the devil or it might be the Lord. But you're going to serve somebody. You see, many of you that are my age and older, man, you remember that song well, and guess what? It's good theology because he's saying exactly what the Bible says. He's really saying what Jesus said. You're going to be a slave to somebody. The question is, who's going to be your master, right? The question is, who's going to be your master? And here is what I want you to understand. Two things I want you to grasp today. This passage. One, here's the paradox. The paradox is true freedom comes in submission to Jesus. True freedom comes in surrender. You see, we think of surrender, the white flag, as a sign of defeat and as a sign of, you know, of now I'm mastered. But biblically, scripturally, spiritually, true freedom only comes in submission and surrender to Jesus Christ. True freedom only comes when I say I'm submitting to his way of life. You see, that's opposite of what the world thinks, right? The world thinks the Bible, man, is restrictive. I mean, the world thinks the Bible's restrictive. I'm going to tell you that if you're stuck today, if you're not living by what's in this book, then you are stuck, whether you're a believer or not, okay? And you're not going to get unstuck as long as you're living outside of what this book says. We're coming at this thing from, just so you know, okay, we believe that the God created, spoke into existence the entire universe. He spoke into existence all things, including you. And so therefore, he created the world and he knows how it operates. And therefore, he told us and gave us rules by which to live in that world so that we could live a free life. Outside of those rules, we're enslaved. And so the very first thing that we need to understand is true freedom comes when we submit to God's way of life. Let me give you some examples. Let's take sex, for example. What does the Bible say about sex? Well, we know obviously what the world says, thinks about sex. What does the Bible think? A lot of Christians have no clue what the Bible thinks because a lot of Christians think, oh, sex is dirty. Don't say sex. I've got kids. Huh? Yeah, you might have. Listen, you better be talking about sex with your kids from what the Bible says, because I promise you the world's going to teach them about it. And you better be talking about it from what the world says. What does the Bible say? The Bible says it's awesome. Teenagers, you need to understand the Bible says sex is amazing, it's awesome, it's great. It's not just for procreation, it's for pleasure, it's awesome. Between a husband and a wife only. Between a husband and wife, not before marriage, not outside of marriage. Now the world says, are you kidding me? See? That's what God says? I mean, how archaic is that? So restrictive. You know what free is? Free is with anyone, anytime, with anybody, right? Anytime I want. That's freedom. I mean, true freedom is, you know, just me being able to do what I want with anybody I want. Really? Well, I mean, let's open our eyes for a minute and take off the blinders. And let me ask you some questions. Or let me point out some stats that might prove otherwise. Let's talk about pornography for a moment. Okay, people who say, well, I can do whatever I want with whomever I want, text me. Did you know that pornography makes more money than Major League Baseball, the NBA, the National Hockey League, and NFL combined? Did you know that pornography makes more money than ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox in any given year combined? Is that crazy? I mean, did you think about all the marriages that are absolutely destroyed by the free sex, anybody I want, whatever. Think about the hashtag Me Too world we live in. Would you say that living God's way is restrictive and enslaving, or living the world's way is restrictive and enslaving? Man, people are enslaved. People are enslaved when we don't do this God's way. As a matter of fact, there was a lady that we read about recently, and a lady who became a believer. She lived a very promiscuous life before she was a believer, and she became a believer, and then her life was marked by fidelity. Her life was marked by faith. She said, "I'm free." She said, "I want you to understand that I'm free. I'm free from the fear of STDs. I'm free from the fear of pregnancy. I'm free from the fear of the. I'm free from other people's opinions of my reputation. I've never been more free than living the way God designed it to be in my life. I'm free." You see, that's what God's word is. We're only truly free when we submit to God's authority. Take money, for example. God's clear on money. You know, God says, give your money. Be generous. He even talks about tithe 10%. People's like, are you kidding me? It's my money. I earned it. I can do with it what I want to do with it. I can do with it. Just the average home in America has $16,000 in credit card debt, $50,000 in student loan debt, $30,000 per car loan, $10,000 in personal debt. That don't include your mortgage. Okay, that's the average. Some are much higher, some are lower, some are much higher. That's your average median, okay? Does doing money our way bring freedom? Or does it bring enslaving, just absolutely, does it enslave us? You see, God's way always brings freedom, but it's so absolute paradoxical to the world's view. The world says, you know, God gives all these commands and they're restricting us, but like a good daddy. Now, I'm a dad. I've got five kids, right? I've got two grandkids, all right? And so I've got older boys, and then, man, I've got younger kids, and it doesn't matter how old my boys get. I never stop being dad. Now, you swap more into mentor than authority, but you never stop being dad. And here's the thing. I have rules for my kids at home, right? Some of my sons are men, man, and I'm mentoring them, but I have rules. Why do I have rules for my kids? Because I want my three kids at home, Jaden, Allie, Kate, and Isaiah. Do I want to say, I don't want them to have any fun. I want them to hate life. I want them to hate living with me. I don't want it to be any fun around here for my kids. No, because I want them to live, right? I want them to live. I want them to make it. I want them to literally be able to be free. So why does God give us rules? Because remember, He created the world. He knows how it works. He created you. He knows how it works. Every rule, every command, every principle that God gives is not to restrict you from your enjoying life. It's to ensure that you do by keeping you from things that enslave you. God's commands are to keep you from things that enslave you. God's commands are for your good. They're for his glory, but they're for your good, right? Doing anything you want is not always good because sometimes it conflicts with what God wants, right? And it enslaves. C.S. Lewis gives a great illustration when he talks about a fish. Now think about a fish. If you catch a fish and you say, oh, that fish, poor fish, it's been captive to this pond. You know, maybe it's in a pond. And it's like, okay, it's this small pond, maybe the size of this room. And it's like, man, think about a pond. Fish, never been outside this pond. He's restricted to this pond. Poor fish, I'm gonna set him free. I'm gonna put him up on the bank. You put him 20 foot up off the bank. Is that fish free? No, that fish is dying. When is that fish free? The fish is free only when he's in the environment where God created him to be. Only when he's living the life God created him to live is he truly, truly free, right? You can't do anything. Freedom is not the ability to do anything you want, right? Jump out of an airplane without a parachute. I want to. You're an idiot, right? You're not free. You're stupid. I mean, you can't do anything. You think freedom's the ability to do anything you want? I got a little project for you to try here, okay? If you do this, please don't tell anybody you go to LifePoint when you're on the news, okay? Go to the Titans game. Titans are about to kick off here in a week or two, right? Go to the Titans game. Buy your ticket. Go to the Titans game. Make your way down to the first row, all right? At some point during the game, just strip off your clothes, jump onto the field, and streak down the field. You think they're going to say, oh, he's free to do that? No, let me tell you what they're going to do. The security going to tackle you and cover up your freedom really quick. Okay? You're not free to do whatever you want to do. Freedom is not doing whatever we want to do. Freedom is found in surrender to Jesus' way of life. It's not out from under authority. That's enslaving. It's under Jesus' authority. That's where we find freedom. You'll know the truth. The truth will set you free. Now, he talks about a slave doesn't live in the house, but a son lives in the house. Listen, here's the second point we want you to understand is you're only free when you're under the authority of Jesus, living life according to, if not, you're going to be stuck, I promise. If you're not a believer today and you feel stuck, you're going to feel stuck. If you're a believer and you feel stuck, I promise you go back somewhere. There's a disconnect. Somewhere there's a breakdown between what God says to live and how you're living, and we feel stuck. Maybe it's in an attitude, a mindset. Maybe, as we talked about, anxiety, something's a God that shouldn't be a God. But somewhere we're outside of where God created us to be, okay? Now, the second thing I want you to understand is, first, freedom is found in surrender to Jesus. Second, it's found in loving Jesus. It's found in loving Jesus. Now, we've already established you're going to serve somebody, right? I mean, you're going to serve somebody. The question is not, am I a slave? The question is, who's my master? And I'm going to tell you who you're going to serve. You're going to serve who or what you love the most. You're going to serve who or what you love the most. We do what we love. That's what we do. I don't typically like to do things I hate to do, right? I mean, think about it. Sin is pleasurable in the moment. It kills and destroys in the end. It's fleeting, and it sucks the life out of you all in between. But in the moment, it's pleasurable. I mean, to think about it. If it was like hitting yourself in the head with a hammer, Satan wouldn't win there in temptation, would he? It's pleasurable in the moment. That's why people do it. Listen, you do what you love to do. I typically don't like to do things I hate. If I hate it, I'm avoiding it. But if I love it, I do it, right? That's what I do. I like to hunt, man. I go hunting. I love going and sitting in a tree stand with my son, you know, and he and I are sitting there. It's great father-son time. I love going into a duck blind and spending time with guys and laughing. I love that kind of stuff, right? I love it. So what do? I do it. I make time to do it. I spend money on it, right? Because I love it. Now, some of you, you'd rather wake up in the morning with your head sewn to the carpet than go hunting. It's just not your idea of fun. Right? And that's okay. It's not your idea of fun. I say, you want to go hunting? You're like, no, I don't want to go hunting. Doesn't sound like my cup of tea. So you don't do it. You don't make time for it. You don't spend money on it. You don't like to. You do what you love, right? You don't do what you hate, typically, right? And so when you don't love Jesus, here's my point. When you don't love Jesus, living in his house, seems restrictive. When you don't love Jesus, obeying his commands seem enslaving and restrictive, right? It's like bondage because, wow, we have the heart of a slave. We have the heart of a slave. That's why I said a son lives in the house, but a slave doesn't. When you don't love Jesus, man, when you don't love the heart of the Father, his rules seem restrictive and enslaving, right? But a son who has a good father, what does he do? A son who has a good father. Every boy, well, some of you have really good daddies and some of you have not had good daddies, all right? But here's what I promise. Here's what you want, even if you don't. You want to have a good daddy. And if you had a good daddy, I want to be like my daddy, right? You want to be the kind of father that your son wants to be like daddy. And if you got a good father, a son wants to be like daddy. He loves what his daddy loves. He doesn't like what his dad. I'll give you an example, man. I know all kind of people, and it's the strangest thing to me. It's all my life. Strangest thing, I know all kind of people. Born and raised in Tennessee. I was born and raised in East Tennessee. I did some time in Texas, but I come back, you know. I was born and raised in Tennessee. And I know people that's been born and raised in Tennessee that are Alabama fans. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Clapping. Well, at least you do get to go to bed 99% of the time happy on Saturday night, right? I have to go to bed repenting. So, but they're Alabama fans. And so I said, hold on a minute, you're born and raised in Tennessee. How are you an Alabama fan? Well, my daddy was an Alabama fan. And I'm like, yeah, but your daddy probably took 2 hours to watch 60 Minutes too then. All right? Now, so my point is, you know, you want to be, I guess, listen, I'm beginning to understand it now. After last night, it dawned on me as I'm looking at this sermon after the thing, I'm repenting, I'm looking at this sermon, I'm saying, you know what, this is sort of getting old because 20 years, people, Tennessee kids hadn't had anything to brag about for 20 years, right? I mean, if you can't beat them, join them, I guess. And so, but my point is this, you know what a son does? A son who's got a good daddy, he wants to be like his daddy, he loves his daddy. He loves the heart. He loves what his daddy loves. He hates what his daddy hates. And so, true freedom, guys and gals, true freedom comes when a heart of a slave is replaced with the heart of a son. The only way that can happen is Jesus Christ. You can't make that happen. You can't make that happen. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can change your heart when you surrender to him, right? And so if you love what God hates, so here's one way to know. If you abide in his word, you're truly my disciple. I know you're truly my disciple when you abide in my word, he said in 8:31, right? And so here's the thing. Do you love what God loves and hate what he hates, or do you love what he hates and hate what he loves? Let me say that one more time because I know it can be confusing. Do you love what God loves and hate what God hates, or do you love what he hates and hate what he loves? Because, listen, if you love what God hates, that might mean that you have the heart of a slave, not the heart of a son. John, or 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus said, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And 1 John 2:15, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so, listen, do you love what God loves or do you hate what he hates? Some of you really struggle with sin. Man, you're a believer and you struggle with sin and you don't want to sin. If you're a believer, you don't want to because the Holy Spirit lives within you and he brings this conviction, right? And so you struggle with sin, but some of you have this lifelong battle with sins. And listen, we all struggle with sin. Don't hear me wrong, okay? I mean, the life is a life of repentance for a believer, okay? We all struggle with sin, but some of you do this deep battle with the same sins over and over, and you try and you try and you try and you try hard to beat this thing down, and you try everything. But here's what I want you to understand. It's not behavior modification that's going to help you beat this thing for the long haul. You might win this battle, right? You might win this time, but behavior modification is not going to be the long run answer for you. It's heart transformation. It's not changing your behavior. It's changed heart. Okay? It's a changed heart that's going to help you win the battle. And so, you know, if you want to overcome sin, what you have to do is you have to let your heart begin to hate what God hates and love what God loves. Because when you love something, think about this. Rather than changing your behavior, change your love. Because when you love something, think about it. When you love something, man, you have a great dislike for anything that opposes what you love, right? I love my kids. I love my kids dearly. I give my life for my kids. I love my kids dearly. But let me tell you something. Anything that opposes my kids is in my crosshairs, okay? I'm not going to step by passively and let anything oppose my kids, and I'm going to go to war with it, whatever opposes my kids. Listen, if your love for Jesus grows, I promise you, when your love for Jesus grows, then you will go to war with anything that maligns his character. When your love for Jesus grows, you will begin to attack, and anything that will be sinful will be in your crosshairs. And it's not like, oh, I need to change my behavior because I don't want to look at that anymore. I don't want to think that anymore. It won't be like, I got to change my behavior. I got to force myself not to do this, in which obedience, you have to do that sometimes. But I'm talking about before long, it's going to be like, I hate that. I hate it because it so maligns the character of my Savior, right? I hate it. And so when you love something, you hate what threatens it, right? And so if you view serving and obedience to God as slavery, it might mean that you've not been set free from the Son, by the Son. And so what I would tell you is there's two things that I would tell you here as we apply this thing. We kick this series off called Stuck. And we're going to be talking about next week. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about. Some of you are stuck in guilt and shame. And we're going to look at the woman who was caught in adultery and drugged before Jesus. And, man, they're trying to entrap Jesus and making a fool of this woman. And Jesus, man, we see absolute amazing amounts of grace and mercy. And, man, we're going to tell you how to get broke free from shame and guilt, right? That's holding you back. We're going to be looking at, Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd, and the sheep hear my voice. Some of you are wandering because you're following the wrong shepherd. And, man, what's the purpose of life about? We're gonna help you understand that and break free from that and how God can break free. Man, we're going to look at Lazarus, Jesus bringing Lazarus back from the death. And you broke free from death, from fear. We're going to look at some things, but today we need to start by saying, what does it mean to be set free, period? What does that mean? What's the baseline for that? And some of you are not believers. And here's what I can promise you. If you're not a believer, if you are a believer, if you're not a believer, anything that you're out of line with in this word is going to get you stuck, okay? We believe in the word of God. We believe this is God's word. We believe God created the world, and he created you, and he created how you should act and how I should act and how we do that, not to restrict us, but so that for our good and for his glory and to have incredible joy and freedom, and anything I do out of alignment with this, man, it's going to leave me stuck. So if you're not a believer, then the first place you begin is asking God to change you, your heart from the heart of a slave to the heart of a son, heart of a daughter. To change your heart, to give you a heart transformation. And so if you're not a believer, we would say, man, we would ask you today to say, I know that true freedom, I want true freedom, and it's only found in surrender to Jesus, right? And so on this card that you received when you came in, there is a spot here right under prayer request, then you got this white box, and then right under it is how can we help you? The very first thing is commit my life to Christ. If you today want to understand more about what freedom is, check that box, how commit my life to Christ. Now, here's what I want you to understand. That does not make you a believer. Checking a box doesn't make you a Christian. So I want you to check that because I want you to bring it back and give it to us back at our pastor's connection, and you can hand it to us, and we can either have somebody talk to you today, or we'll set up an appointment, or you put it in the offering basket as it passes, and someone will contact you this week to set up an appointment so we can walk you through and help you to understand what it means to surrender your life to Jesus. Not checking a box, okay? It's surrender to Jesus, but that lets us get in contact with you. So if you're not a believer, that would be if you want to experience freedom because you think you're stuck, and I promise you do. That doesn't mean your life's not happy. That doesn't mean, man, things are going great for you right now. But it means that at some point, that's going to come to an end really quick, and you're going to be stuck. And some of you know exactly what that means. And so feel that. Check that. If you say, man, I want to live for more than what feels good in the moment. I want to, man, I think it's good because my job's going good. My house is great. I've got a good car. Sure you do. Sure you do. Okay? But you want more than that. Check that box. We'll get in touch with you. Now, for those of you who are believers in the room, what did John 8:31? You remember what it said in 8:31? Jesus said, abide in me, right? You abide in my word. You abide in my word. You abide in my word. I know you're my disciples. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So what's it talking about? Some of you are believers, and here's what I know about being a believer, because I have been one for quite a few years, and sometimes I get stuck. Every time I get stuck, every time it goes back to I'm out of alignment with this somewhere, okay? I'm out of alignment with this somewhere. And sometimes some of you are stuck because you got the Holy Spirit, you've been redeemed, the Holy Spirit has invaded your life, but you've not grown, and you're stuck because you don't know the Word. So you don't know God's revealed will, and so you're not aligned, and you don't know where you're out of alignment because you don't know the Word good enough. Others of you, man, you might know it, and you're like, man, I'm just going to rebel against it because right now this is what I want to do. And but others of you, you don't know it. And here's what we want you to understand. The way to get unstuck is to abide in the Word. And so we've created this brochure right here that outlines some next steps. You know what these next steps are about? Helping you abide in the Word, right? They're about helping you abide in the Word. I mean, coming to church on Sunday, that's abiding in the Word. Abiding, you know what the word abide means? It's where you live, it's where you dwell, okay? So when it's dwell, it's not like, okay, I come to church, that's part of dwelling, but it goes beyond that, right? You know, I meet with a small group of guys every week. I meet with a small group of guys on Thursday, and man, we have a lot of fun. We hang out together, but we get in the Word. We challenge one another. We hold each other accountable, okay? So that's a part of abiding in the Word. Coming to church is a part of abiding in the Word. Having your quiet time is a part of abiding in the Word. Going to class, we have all these classes. This is to help you abide in the Word so you know the Word so that you can be free from the things that enslave you. I mean, we have all kinds of things. We have MOPS on here. MOPS is Mothers of Preschoolers. We have stuff for senior adults in here, man. We have something I can't even. We have Grupo en Español, whatever that is. We have, it's obviously a Spanish thing that I don't know what it means. We have a study in Colossians. We have Monday night Bible study. You know that's for women, Monday night Bible study. Men's Monday night football. We have no men's group on Monday night. And so, all kind of different things, right? All kind of different ways. So if you're a believer, man, some of you need to take the next step. Some of you need to take the next step of abiding in the Word so that you'll know God's Word, so that you can align your life with it, so that you can break free from what's got you stuck, okay? So that you can break free from what's got you stuck. So for the next 5 weeks, we're gonna come in and talk, look at specific stories. Today was a general baseline message to help you to understand what true freedom really is. Now we're gonna come in and start looking at some different stories each week. Shame and guilt next week. Man, if you've ever struggled, you're struggling with shame and guilt, you need to come and invite somebody next week, because we're gonna look at a story that just absolutely screams the grace and mercy of God that we all love and adore and want in our life. But right now today, if you're not a believer and you'd like to know what that means, check the box. If you are, look at your next step, abide in His Word. We're gonna sing right now, and Travis is gonna come, and what we try to do in our band and what we try to do each week is we preach, and then we give you an opportunity to respond, because we want the Word that goes out. If it's God's Word, it changes hearts. Here's the cool thing about the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm preaching, and some of you might say, yeah, I need to be set free. I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm a believer, and yeah, I don't know the Word. But the cool thing about the Holy Spirit is He does what He wants, right? And so He convicts everybody on the things He needs to convict them about. And so you respond however God's led you to respond. We're going to take up our tithes and offerings during this. That's a response. Some of you need to confess. Some of you just need to worship God that He set you free. You respond how God has led you to respond as we go into this response time, okay? And man, you come back and see us. Come back next week. Bring somebody with you. Let's pray together. Father, we love You. Thank You for Your amazing grace. God, today I thank You, Lord, that true freedom is found in knowing the truth. And God, thank You that the truth is not a concept, it's a person. You tell us very clearly, You are the way, the truth, and the life. We will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Lord, if we put that together, we simply know today, based on Your Word, that Jesus Christ is freedom. That only in freedom, and that's not meaning no restraints, that means freedom is found when we come under Your Word and submit ourselves to Your Word. You tell us, Lord, and the world thinks that yoke of Your Word is hard and restrictive, but You say that Your yoke is easy and Your burden is light. And Lord, if we feel like that Your yoke is hard and enslaving, then Lord, we might have the heart of a slave, and I pray that today You would change hearts to hearts of sons and daughters from hearts of slaves. God, I pray that right now that people who don't know you would be transformed by your amazing grace. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open people's eyes to see you and their ears to hear your word and their minds to understand and their hearts to receive. God, I pray that, Lord, right now that you would convict. And I pray that people would respond. God, I pray that right now those who know you, Father, would be committed to abiding in your word so that we can be set free from the things that enslave us. God, I pray that you would help us to know that only freedom, we'll only be free when we surrender to your way of life. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.